A brand new Christian nightclub has opened in Nashville, Tennessee. Is this a good thing or is this a bad thing? Let's talk about it today.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, guys? It is Monday, March the 4th. We want to welcome you to the program tonight. Again, this is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome everybody. If you're a regular listener, and if you're new to the program, first time joining us, we want to welcome you to the program. Let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. And of course, we want to welcome all of our podcast audience, of all of you guys from Spotify or Apple. We welcome you to the program tonight. For everybody, I want to encourage you again, if you've not downloaded our free app, it's available absolutely free to you, and it's available on Apple and Android devices. You can pick it up today by going to your store, whatever that looks like for you. Type in End Time Headlines, look for the logo, look for the official trademark logo. That's for you guys on Apple and Spotify. For you guys that are watching this visually, if you'll go to the description of this video, there's a link under where it says download our free app. Just click on that link and it's going to take you to a page where you can click on either Apple or Android, depending on what device you have. Then be sure to hit yes to push notifications and you're going to be squared away and good to go with every headline and every podcast when it is available. And of course, before we get started, I want to encourage you guys to hit that like button, hit that bell notification, and be sure to share this content so that it can get out and others can also be blessed by the information and revelation that we give you guys week after week after week. So I want to talk about this new, there's a new nightclub, and it's not as you think, but there's some things I want to talk about tonight. Let me give you the article here. Now, this quote-unquote Christian nightclub has now gone viral. It's gone mainstream because the mainstream media is even picking up on this. As you can see here, if you're watching the visual, this is from the Associated Press. Here's the headline. No twerking, no drinking, no smoking, but plenty of room for Jesus at this Christian nightclub. Let's see what this is about. I'm going to read a little bit of this. The young crowd at a Nashville nightclub was ready to dance under the strobe lights to a throbbing mix of hip-hop, rap, and Latin beats. But first, they gathered to pray and praise God. The rules were announced on the dance floor by Mike Carrion MC to more than 200 club goers blanketed by thick smoke machine fog. And no, guys, by the description of all this, it sounds like it's one of our modern churches. The smoke, the fog machine, the secular music, the strobe lights, all of the, it almost sounds like a modern church. But this is, again, this is being called a dance club or a nightclub, if you will, would. So let's look at these rules here. And then I'm going to give you a little bit of insight and my own opinion on this and my perspective on this. So just hang in there with me. We got to get all the details in first because a lot of you guys have already been talking about this in dialogues in the comment section on Telegram and on Facebook. It's not on Facebook. We're not on Facebook anymore, but on Telegram and on YouTube and different places where there's dialogue and interchange there or interaction. Rule number one, no twerking. Now, for you older folks, that's a sexual provocative dancing. Second rule is there's no drinking, no drinking of alcohol. And the third rule is no smoking. So let me say it again. No twerking, no drinking, no smoking. The last unspoken rule seems obvious by then. No secular music. The playlist would be all Christian. So already off the bat, in case you wanted to know, hip-hop, rap, Latin is all going to be, quote, Christian hip-hop, Christian rap, and Christian Latin music. Okay, this is called The Cove, C-O-V-E. This, according to the report, is an 18 years of age and older Christian nightclub. It was launched last year by seven black Christian men in their 20s. Among them was an Ivy League educated financial analyst, musicians, and social media experts who all come together and sought to build a thriving community and a welcoming space for young Christians outside the church or houses of worship. The launch comes at a, quote, post-pandemic time of dwindling church attendance. So in other words, it all, from what I'm gathering here, this sounds like another bait and hook opportunity to use something to try to lure people in, howbeit 18 and older. So it's geared around 18 and older. So this is not like preteens, but 18 years of age and older. This is the, this is kind of like a bait and hook thing. We got to try to lure them in. What can we do to entice this generation to come into and seek God? Well, let's read on here. The launch comes again. I'm going to read this here. Quote, we ourselves experienced a pain point of not being able to find community outside of our church, not knowing what to do to have fun without feeling bad for doing stuff that, quote, conflicting, that is conflicting to our values. They're looking for somewhere to have fun without feeling bad for doing stuff that's conflicting to our values. Interesting. Quote, there was not a space to cultivate that, so we created it ourselves out of that pain point, the loneliness, the anxiety, the depression, that COVID and the long quarantine. Their goal, according to the report, was to get 1,000 followers on social media. And according to the report, they ended up getting more than 10,000 followers before the first event. Jordan Diggs, 22 years of age, who manages the club's social media presence, said that, quote, Christians get a rep for being corny, and we want to show that Christians can be normal. They can be normal and be cool, and they can have fun. A second equally popular event was Time to Ring in the New Year. A third was held in February. For weeks, on its Instagram account, under hashtags like hashtag Jesus Christ, hashtag nightclubs, club organizers asked people to be ready to dance the worship night away and look their best. When you pull up, we expect to see you in your holiest drip. Now, again, for you older folks, that's a slang term for your holiest outfit or your your getup, your gear, your, I don't know how many slangs you want to use here, your wardrobe. At the mid-February event, many in the radically and ethnically diverse crowd wore a rainbow of vivid colors, fluorescent, turquoise, electric orange, neon pink, and their Nike, Adidas, and New Balance sneakers. Our hoodies with images of Jesus and a varsity jackets with scripture from the Bible. Quote, and I'm going to pull up, we'll pull up some pictures of this in just a second. What surprised me the most is the diversity, honestly, said Aaron Dews, one of the club founders. With us being seven black guys, just seeing the expansion of the type of people that we can bring in and the unification around the idea has been incredibly encouraging. Now, I'm going to scroll down again. Here is some of the pictures of apparently inside of this, again, Christian nightclub. Here's a video, too, of all these people standing there. So it looks, literally looks just like a regular nightclub. I'm going to talk more about that. Here it is here, too. But again, you don't see any alcohol in their hands. You don't see smoking. And again, we'll get to the commentary on this in just a second. So I know everybody's waiting for me to see what I think about this. And I'm going to give you a little bit of insight and give you what my opinion is or my perspective on this. Food trucks are reportedly in the parking lot awaiting hungry clubbers. Inside, there's merchandise of vintage clothes with religious messages that hung from racks. A white t-shirt with an iconic Pepsi logo reading, quote, Jesus, the choice of a new generation, echoing the soda company's tagline from decades ago. In lieu of alcohol, vendors sold sports drinks, bottled water, and soda. Organizers cheerfully set up early. They hung Christmas-style lights from ceilings. They sang cappella and rehearsed their best choreographed moves. Quote, before he impressed everyone with his dance moves, Garrett Bland, 20 years of age, listened on his phone to Deliver Me by gospel singer Donald Lawrence. Quote, it's about letting the Lord into your life, he said, wearing a gold medallion around his neck inscribed with the Lord's Prayer and a beige hoodie that read God First. He admired what the Cove's founder are trying to do, saying, quote, they want to create a space for believers who want to come to the faith and have fun. Eric Diggs also came wearing a blue hoodie embroidered in white with Young Sons of God. And he said, quote, dear God, thank you for this night. He said, amen. The group said in unison before they huddled like a basketball team before a game and yelled, the Cove. Nia Grant, 18 years of age, attended the club for the first time. She moved from Grand Rapids, Michigan 4 months ago and said she had been praying to make like-minded friends. Quote, I think joy and religion can go together, said Grant, who wore nose piercings, Air Jordans, and ripped jeans. And God, she said, is joy. Soon after, a line of people who had bought tickets in advance snaked outside to enter the nightclub. At the door, security officers in bulletproof vests, that's interesting, frisked club goers inside. They chatted, laughed, and greeted each other with high fives. Word quickly spread around that a couple had traveled 9,000 plus miles from their home in Brisbane, Australia, to the Christian club in Tennessee capital known as Music City. The couple, 23 and 24 years of age, heard about the Cove that a, quote, faith and culture podcast co-hosted by Darren Starks, one of the club's founders. One of the individuals said, quote, people can be really clicky. But he said, so here we give them prompts. So when we start the DJ set, people are really comfortable dancing. Quote, the crowd went wild when the DJ played Alakazam. This is a song by rapper Caleb Gordon. Now, guys, I don't listen to this kind of music. So I don't know who these people are, so I really can't give you any deeper insight into these individuals. This apparently is an individual who's grown popular for his faith-inspired songs, especially Christian hip-hop. They gasped and cheered when 21-year-old Dylan Runyons, who's a former competition dancer, performed a backflip on the dance floor. Now I'm going to say this. Interesting enough, they're saying that this, quote, turned into a revival of sorts. Some wept or knelt with eyes shut in prayer, whispering. Someone in a small group asked God to, quote, keep away negative societal thoughts. Many belted out a gospel song that everyone seemed to know by heart, and it was a, quote, a God like you by choir director, rapper, and songwriter Kirk Franklin. Now, I got a big problem with Kirk Franklin. Guys, this guy is, to me, is not really someone I would be really touting and playing in my quote-unquote whatever. This guy is super controversial. He's on a reality show. He cusses just like the world. No difference, no distinction. There was some video circulating where he was up there on stage twerking, doing stuff that was very out of line. Again, I believe, as an example, as a Christian artist per se. So that's a huge red flag for me. Now, I do have a video here. I'm not going to play the audio just because I don't want to get hit with any kind of copyright stuff, but I'm going to show you the video of it. So I apologize for you guys that if you guys are listening. There's nothing said here. It's just a bunch of people shouting and you hear some music. But again, because of copyrights on music, but if you guys are watching the visual of this, I want to show you about a 40-second clip of inside this quote-unquote Christian nightclub. Here we go. So again, you can see him. See here, all these people gathered around, and they're just chanting stuff. It looks like, again, they're having a good time. And again, I'm going to make some comments. We're going to go back to this in a second. But then you can see everybody there taking pictures, smiling, laughing, dancing, joking, people on the mic talking. So you see all this here. Again, I do want to highlight no presence of alcohol, no presence of sexual, anything of that nature, no smoking, anything like that. So, you know, I do give them props for that. Again, these are inside images or videos of this quote unquote Christian nightclub. Now, we took about almost 20 minutes to talk about this. Now, you may say, well, Brother Ricky, what do you think about this? Well, first of all, let me just say this. I perceive this as yet another, an opportunity. Can it be an opportunity? I'm going to do this. In the book of Revelation, this is the safest way to do this, because I know, listen, no matter how I slice this cake today, someone is going to get mad. Someone's going to complain on this camp or that camp. So I'm going to try to give the most balanced approached reaction to this and my personal opinion on this. Okay, so in order to do this, I'm going to take this angle. When you go into the book of Revelation, in the first three chapters, the Lord is commending and correcting the seven churches of Asia. Go and read it sometimes. You go in the book of Revelation, there are seven churches of Asia Minor, and they're all the church of Laodicea, the church of Philadelphia, the church of the Laodicea church. There's seven churches there that is being corrected and being commended. He commends them first. He always writes when the Lord is doing this through John the Revelator, the Lord himself, the Holy Spirit is inspiring John to write what he has seen and told to write these things down. And you can read it in those first three chapters of Revelation. The Lord starts out he calls out this church by name, and he says, you have these things going for you. So he commends them. You've got this going for you. Your faith is known throughout the world. You've got strength. You don't bow down. You don't compromise. You do this, do that, this. And then he shifts gears and he goes from commending to correction. So I figured, you know what? Let me bring the commending of this. Number one, I think it's very commendable that at least there is people out there that are thinking about the next generation. That's huge. And let me tell you why that's huge, first of all, because I'm going to hit on all these points. The reason why it's huge that you've got somebody that's thinking about the next generation is because, listen, guys, I've been to a lot of churches and I spend time in these churches, and I can tell you right now, they have no vision for the next generation, and everybody in that church is either in the third quarter or the fourth quarter of their life. And when they go on to be with the Lord, there is no one left. There's no one there to carry the baton to the next generation. They're not investing in, come on, I call it the Joel 2 generation, the last day generation, which, by the way, according to the Bible, they're going to be heavily involved in the last days when God continues, not when he does, continues, because he's already been doing it, but as he continues to move in the earth in different pockets and different places in the earth, what I call through the remnant, and this Joel 2 described it as, in the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and he emphasizes sons and daughters. So thank God to these guys, these brothers, and all the teamwork of the collaboration of these individuals in Nashville that at least have a heart and a vision for the next generation. I commend them for that. Number two, I commend them for at least having some moral standards here. No drinking, no alcohol, no twerking, and no secular music. Now, we call it secular music. Since I'm on this horse, I'm just going to ride this horse. Just because it's not, quote, secular music, and it's, quote, unquote, Christian music, whether it be whatever genre that is, whether it's Christian rap, Christian hip-hop, Christian Latino, Christian country. We've got it Christian rap, Christian hip-hop. I mean, we got every genre out there of Christian. And I've said this before, just because someone calls himself a Christian or they're an artist that titles himself as a Christian doesn't mean they're quote unquote Christian. The fact is, there's a lot of these bands, musicians, and artists that they promote themselves as a Christian artist because either they couldn't make it in the mainstream and they settled for the Christian genre. Or two, they're just literally flat out a wolf in sheep's clothing, because they're milking the money. They're hirelings. They're getting your money because you've, well, they're a Christian band, so I'm going to take my kids and go to their concert and go to the Winter Jam and take them, and this is going to be great, and it's going to be glorious, and I'm going to take them there. But what you don't know is the after party. What you don't know is after the show, beyond the stage, beyond the platform, beyond the lights, on the backstage, in the green rooms, they've got all the alcohol out there. They're smoking weed. They're talking like the world, acting like the world. And I'm talking about even involved in sexual immorality and all that. And listen, don't write me a nasty letter and email and message me and tell me I'm wrong. Guys, I know people that know people. And I have seen it firsthand with some of these artists. I've been in green rooms before. I've been in back green rooms with preachers that's been on TBN, that's been on Christian television. And I'm going to tell you, I can count on one hand as many preachers as I would enjoy sitting in a green room and having any discussion with, because the majority I don't want to have anything to do with, because I've seen them beyond the platform and beyond the stage. So don't be deceived, my brothers and sisters, and thinking just because they're playing quote unquote Christian music or they're promoting a Christian artist, that this is somehow a safe haven for these young people, because that's not necessarily, it isn't, okay? So again, commending first the fact that they have a heart for another generation, the fact that they're drawing a line in the sand on some of these things, and I'll get more into that in just a second. But, okay, now I want to bring in some stuff that I have a concern about. Okay, now we're going to get into what I have a concern about. All right, number one is that outside of the alcohol and the smoking and the sexual stuff and the dancing, which I question that, unless these people, and this is where it kind of going where I'm going into this, unless you've got a lot of security and a lot of monitors there that are observing what's going on, I highly doubt that there is not things going on. And now let me explain this. See, when I was in the world, now I understand we got a vast diversity audience here, and not everybody listening to me is going to relate to my background and to my testimony. Some of you have been blessed, and this is not a bad thing. You've been blessed and privileged to be raised in a Christian home and a Christian environment and sheltered from a lot of things of the world. So you don't have, so what I'm about to embark into, you have no understanding of it, no revelation of it, no point of reference to it, or no experience with it, because you never got into it. And that is not a bad thing. That's a great thing. It would be, guys, I would be beyond honored. And I pray that my sons are never involved in what I'm about to get into here. And that is, when I was in the world, not saved, before Christ, before I got born again, I many times went to actual nightclubs, bars, taverns, and hung out with other individuals where, I'm going to tell you, when I looked at the videos of this and what I'm seeing, look no different than the world minus, are you hearing me? Come on, don't get mad at me. Don't lose me yet. Minus the smoking, the drinking, and the sexual provocative dancing. Outside of that, the light show, the smoke machine, the dancing, the mixture of the women, the men, you have all that, the atmosphere, all of that is the same from what I've seen. Now, I can't completely judge that because I'm not there. So I'm being realistic here. I can't say that, you know, I cannot be dogmatic about, well, it's this, because I'm not there. But again, based on, so I do want to preface this by saying, you know, unless you're actually there, it's you cannot fully judge the atmosphere or the environment, okay? But just as an onlooker, okay, it looks no different. And again, this, and that, and the reason why I want to get into that is because, you know, we read these scriptures. For example, First Thessalonians 5, the Lord said, or Paul said rather, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21 and 22, he says, test all things and hold fast what is good. And then in verse 22, he says, abstain from every form of evil. Let me say that one more time. I'm going to pull up this scripture. Let me pull it up for you. Again, this is in 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22. Test all things. We got to get people in there that are spirit-filled, full of the Holy Ghost, who has discernment, that knows the word. Let them go in there and test this. Test all things. Come on. That's who we need in these churches too. Test it. What's it? Does it line up with the word? All this stuff. Now I understand this is not a church. Okay. We get that. This is not a church. But if you're going to call yourself a Christian nightclub, and by the way, guys, the nightclub, calling it a nightclub is just, that kind of rubs me the wrong way too. Because again, 1 Thessalonians, let me pull it back up. I pulled it away here. Let me pull it back up here. 1 Thessalonians, test all things. So we got to do that. Discernment. Hold fast what is good and abstain from every appearance of evil. He said abstain from the very appearance of evil. So guys, I hope this is not, you know, this is not like an example of Halloween. Now look, I'm going to ruffle some feathers right here. For all of you Halloween participators that celebrate Halloween and call yourself a Christian, I don't even understand that. When Paul said abstain from every appearance of evil, I don't understand. Listen, you can't get any more of an example of an appearance of evil than Halloween. Are you kidding me? Witches, warlocks, skeletons, zombies, just gore, blood, werewolves, vampires, all of it. Gore, it's just, all of it's evil. And he says, abstain from every appearance of evil. So the church, listen to me, I'm going somewhere with all this. The church has to say, oh my goodness, how can we get these people in? Instead of drawing a line of sand and abstaining from the appearance of evil, we have to conform to the evil. Are you hearing me? And we have to polish it up and make it palatable and acceptable. We can't just flat out say that we're going to have a Halloween service at our church. So instead, we're going to call it trunk or treat. That's my real concern here. Is this what we're doing here? Are we taking something and polishing it up to make it desirable for the world? Is that what we're doing? Are we making something where the people of the world can come in and be comfortable in the name of Christianity? Doesn't convict them, doesn't lead them to Christ, none of that. Because I'm not hearing, I'm not seeing anything in here. Now, I could be wrong, because I read an Associated Press article. I read in a Fox News article. I watched some of these interviews. I've not seen anywhere where there's any preaching of the Word of God. So it's, again, it's a, and I'm going to give you a quote from what they're saying. It's a hangout. It's a place where we can, quote, have fun as Christians, but there's the Word of God's not being presented. It's just different genres of Christian music with dancing and with, you know, all this stuff going on. Now, let me go back. I want to go back to what I was saying. When I was in the world, I would go to a nightclub, or we'd go to a bar, we'd go to a tavern, and literally, now this, some of y'all remember this, some of you won't. If you were not serving the Lord in the 80s and especially the 90s, I remember going to these clubs in the 90s and the glow sticks were really popular. Everybody would have the glow sticks. You'd have them in your mouth. You'd have them in your hand. And it was, and you'd had the fog machines. You had the lights. You had the disco lights. People were jumping around and they were dancing around and they were, you know, you had men and women on top of each other on the dance floor. They were all mingling together. And again, I remember, and again, of course, the environment was, it was a lot of sexual stuff. There was alcohol involved. All this stuff was going on. So I will give it that. But when I got saved, the Lord delivered me out of that and I had no desire to go back into that. So I want to paint a perspective of a born again spirit-filled believer who has, according to 2 Corinthians, come out from among them to be separate and to touch not the unclean thing. When we're looking on as that perspective of someone like me looking back into this, it would be very awkward for me to step into this environment and seeing how similar it is. It's almost like tippy-toeing that line. So my question is, now listen, you may be strong enough and strong enough in will, are you hearing me, that it won't cause you to stumble. But what about this brother over here or this sister over here who was a club hopper? They were always at the bar. They were always at the tavern, and they're always consuming alcohol, always bumping and grinding to get somebody on a Friday or Saturday night. And God delivers them out of that stuff. What do you think is going to happen if they step back into that? Maybe they're not strong-willed as you are. It could literally be a trap for them. Now you say, well, Brother Ricky, there's no alcohol. There's not bumping and grinding or twerking. There's no cigarette smoking and there's no secular music. So everything is great. Everything is dandy and everything is safe proof. Really? So now I'm going to go to this part and I'm going to bring this out. Okay. Number one, watch this. Unless you have, I'm talking about a tight-knit security there that can monitor this thing all the time. Here's a great concern. There's several concerns here. Number one is security alone. Because to me, now you think about the culture that we're in, the environment that we're in right now, where you've got it, where there's so much anti-Semitism. There's hatred towards certain religions and faiths. Think about everything that's going on in the Middle East. I myself would not feel safe going to a place where you've got hundreds and probably thousands of people now, because this is going to look, I know how people are. This will catch on and you'll got, I mean, guys, you've got people that has driven 9,000 plus miles from Australia to be a part of this. You don't think people is going to flock here from New York and California and all over the place to go here just to say they went to it because it's the newest and greatest thing. So think about this for a second. If you have, and God forbid, you have another lunatic out there that is demonically influenced, just like, and by the way, this is the same area where a shooter came out of with a manifesto that was targeting these kind of people. I just would not feel safe, me being there personally as a setting duck, or especially my kids being there as setting ducks, where someone could come in. And again, I pray, I'm just saying, I don't know, I can't judge it. I don't know what kind of security they got, but I pray to God, if, again, according to what this article said, there is guards there with bulletproof vest. I pray to God that they have enough adequate security there to keep these people safe, because this concerns me, okay? I'm just being honest. Number two, I'm concerned with, even though there's no alcohol there per se, and there's none of that stuff going on, who's to say that people are not getting drunk and coming into the place already intoxicated? Now, why is that an issue? Because listen to me, friend, when you get a body of people all together, you're going to have, come on, hormones are going crazy. You're going to get a bunch of people together and there is going to be temptations. There's going to be lust. There's going to be all kinds of stuff going on there. And for you to sit here and say, well, that's never going to happen here. We're going to keep a tight-knit guard on it. I tip my hat off to them. I pray that they do keep this, but I could see this becoming very bad. There's just a lot of factors in this, guys, that I don't know. You know, before you call me a Pharisee and get mad at me, listen, I'm just telling you, it's not just from the perspective of how we've got to polish up everything in the church to make it acceptable to the world. I'm tired of that alone. I'm just being honest with you. We've done it to the churches. This is no different than what we're doing to the churches. The whole nightclub scene, we've already brung us into the house of God, guys. I can take you to churches where I live and you go in and all the lights go off. It's pitch black. You've got the fog machines. You've got the disco lights. You've got the band on the stage. You've got everything just like the nightclubs. Now, they're not dancing and all that stuff, but they do. There is sometimes that they jump around and dance. To me, it's an extension. To me, it's almost like an addition to what we've already created in this generation. It's so worldly that it's almost as if we have this notion that we have to make it so worldly, or we can't get anybody into the house of God. You know, I'm sorry. You know, if you think I'm being pessimistic about it, I'm just being a realist, guys. Listen, I came out of the generation where we had church camp. Y'all remember that? Church camp. Now, listen, there is stories, and some of y'all may know this, where this stuff went on at church camp, where there's monitors, there's people that come along, the parents that come along and chaperone these things. There's all these people there, and things still slip through the cracks. There was still incidences where where there was sexual stuff going on. There was alcohol. There was drugs that slipped through the cracks. Now think about it. If all that happened at church camp, it is absolutely naive to think that this won't happen at this type of environment. Look, I could be, please, I hope I'm proven wrong. I hope I'm proven wrong and that this becomes successful and it becomes great. But I'm telling you, I just have this, it bothers me because there's too many cracks in this that the enemy can get in. And from a safety standpoint, from a standpoint of putting, you know, young men and young women, and again, you know, and I haven't even touched on the whole, we're in a generation that accepts all kinds of sexual immorality. I'm talking about from every form of same-sex relations to this and to that. So again, you've got a whole plethora of things that could go wrong here. But let me read this. This is from 1 Peter 4. I was thinking about this when I was putting this segment together. And listen, guys, please let me know in the comment section below. What do you think about this? Do you agree with Brother Ricky? And listen, it's okay if you don't. How do you feel? Maybe there's something I'm not thinking of or I missed, and you can let us know in the comment section below. 1 Peter 4, 3 and 5. Listen to this. For we, and now he's talking about the church here, okay? We have spent enough of our past. Do I got anybody on the podcast that has a past? Oh, come on. Do I got anybody that if I gave you the microphone, you could testify and you could say, Brother Ricky, let me tell you, let me give you 10 minutes to tell you about my past, what God brought me out of, what I used to be, what I could have been and what I should have been, and what could my outcome could have been. He pulled me out of drugs. He pulled me out of alcohol. He pulled me out of lasciviousness. He pulled me out of sexual immorality. Come on. Is there anybody out there that has a past? The word of God says, for we have spent enough of our past. Somebody say past. Our past lifetime. Come on, that's our before Christ, our BC days. We've spent enough of our past lifetime. Look at this. In doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revilries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Now again, I'm not tagging this group or this nightclub with lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. I'm not doing that. But watch this, verse 4. In regard to these things, they, the world, think it strange that you and I, who are born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, serving God. Look at this. Do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation. Oh, what does that mean, Brother Ricky? It means, watch this. Let me tell you like this. They think it odd or strange that we no longer party with them. Do you want to go to the nightclub? No, that's the old me. Do you want to go to the bar this weekend? No, I don't do that anymore. Do you want to go to the tavern and just kind of hang out? No, because I don't want to expose myself to temptations that I have already put to death and crucified. Come on, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to open myself up to that temptation. So when you tell them, no, thank you, I'm good, I don't do that anymore, I don't drink anymore, I don't do this, I don't smoke anymore, come on, I don't do the drugs anymore, I'm not bumping and grinding with somebody on the dance floor anymore on Friday or Saturday night, taking somebody home from the bar, doing this and that. What does it say? They think it's strange. What? Why? Are you better than me? You too good for me? Why do you not want to do that anymore? What's wrong with you? And you tell them, I'm serving the Lord. I gave my heart to Christ. I'm a new creation. They'll tag you with you'll be called a religious fanatic. You don't believe me? Look what Peter said here. Watch. In regards to these things, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation. Look what it says. They're speaking evil of you. They don't like you at work anymore. Your family don't want to speak to you anymore. Your neighbors, they're done with you. They don't want to hang out with you anymore. You know, your neighbors that used to, they'd have the 4th of July parties. They'd have the cookouts. They'd have the beer. They had the alcohol. They have all that stuff. But you got born again. You got saved. You got radically transformed. Come on, the presence of God. And you no longer have a desire for that. Come on. I know I'm talking to a remnant right now, because I'm going to say a lot of Christians don't have any problem with it. A lot of Christians still drink, still smoke, still sleep around, still commit fornication, still commit adultery, committing homosexuality. They're still doing all these things and calling themselves Christians. But in case there's still a remnant that believes in holiness, righteousness, and sanctification, and it believes that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, and the old is passed away, and behold, all things have become new. If there's anybody out there that's like that, then I'm speaking to you. I'm not speaking to the rest of you guys. Really need to truly repent and really get saved. Anyway, I had to get that off my chest. So if I didn't offend anybody in the last 40 minutes, I got your number right there. So these people speak evil of you because you don't look like the world anymore. You don't talk like the world anymore. You don't act like the world anymore. You don't drink like the world anymore. You don't smoke like the world anymore. You don't do these things like the world anymore. You're so radically set apart and different. They don't know what to do. So they just they talk you down. They talk about you behind your back. They trash you. They ridicule you. They mock you. They lie on you. They persecute you for righteousness' sake. But I love what Peter says in verse 5. In verse 5, it says, they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. So come on, who am I talking to today? All those people that has talked you down, trashed you, ripped you apart, spoke evil of you, they're going to give an account for God on the day of judgment. Now you say, well, why did you bring this up? Here's what I'm trying to say. The reason why I brought this up here, noticed here that both Peter and Paul in their letters, you'll hear them consistently in their letters to the churches, they make a distinction between those who serve God and those who don't serve God. And there's no gray area. The modern church has created a gray area. Listen, the prophets didn't do this. The early church didn't do this. Jesus didn't do that. There was no gray area. John came along and says, repent, therefore, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus went after him and preached, repent, therefore, and the kingdom of God is at hand. And then the apostles came after him and preached, repent, therefore, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And the early church came along and preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And now we've come to 2024, and we can't get half of the preachers out here to even mention the word repentance, or if they do mention the word repentance, they have watered it down and diluted it to the point where it's just a mindful thing. It's changing your thoughts and changing your mind, but they never deal with, come on, they never deal with lifestyle. They never deal with your walk and how you handle things in life, how you do things, how you treat people. They don't center on that because it's offensive to everybody, and we don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers. So listen, we live in a time, watch this, where we have, again, we are trying to use every attraction that the devil has. his tool. We don't have any creativity in the church. We don't have any anointing in the church. We've lost the presence. We've lost the fear of God. We've lost the standard. We've lost morality. We've lost sanctification. We've lost holiness. We've lost righteousness. And because we've lost all these things that God told us that we should be walking in, now you know what we're doing? We're reaching into the devil's toolbox and we're using all of his tricks. We're using all of his lures. We're using all of his baits. Well, I got to use everything that Satan's got out there to attract people to God, because what we really need and what God intended for us to have to attract people to God, we don't have it. Last time I checked, the Bible says that Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. The Bible says that draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. The Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. Listen, the anointing of God, the presence of God is attractive. It is addictive. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about, but you get around men, real men and women of God who know how to pray, know how to touch God, know how to touch heaven, that's been in the Word, in the presence of God. I'm telling you, they're saturated with the glory of God. And when you get in their presence, it will convict you and it will draw you close to God, and you won't have any desire to do half of these things that these churches believe and they feel like they need to have into their church or whatever to attract the lost. So guys, that's where my heart is. Again, let me close with this. Okay, so you'll be clear where Brother Ricky stands, because I don't want anybody to get any kind of, you know, well, he said this and this. No, no, no. Here's the clarity. Here's the bottom line. I commend things, but I have concerns. Let me say it again. There's things I commend. Thank God that at least somebody's thinking about the next generation. Thank God that somebody is creating something for young people to gather to. I have nothing against that. But again, the thing that I'm concerned with is what this thing, again, the appearance of evil, the attractions that are being used, the luring of, and what it is. And you've called it a nightclub, and anybody that came out of the world or in the world, they're going to know what that is. Okay. To me, this is almost like this Carl Lentz type of stuff. I get that kind of vibe from this. Cause remember, if y'all don't know who that is, Carl Lentz was a pastor from Hillsong. He was one of the Hillsong pastors. You know, Brian Houston, you know, all the scandal with that and the reproach that has brought to Australia and all that, and even into America. Then he had Carl Lentz on, who was the senior pastor of Hillsong, New York. And most of you guys know all the nonsense that came out of that. He was the hip pastor. He rubbed elbows with celebrities like Justin Bieber and all these guys. And again, anyone with discernment can look. We saw this coming a mile away. And that's why I said, that's why I brought up 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, when the Apostle Paul said, test all things. And then he says, hold fast to what is good. Come on, don't compromise your morals. Don't compromise your standards. If you walk into a place like this and you feel the conviction of the Lord, don't compromise that. Hold your ground and abstain from every form of evil. That's where I'm at with this, guys. And then the safety standpoint of this, again, you know, I feel like I would be a setting duck there. Maybe that's just me. But you see all the craziness. As a reporting of this, there people's just been shot up at a party. At least 4 people dead. What about the Orlando nightclub shooting? What about the Nashville shooting that just happened with the manifesto and all that? What about, I mean, we could go on and on and on and on about this. And again, so there's a lot of red flags on this. Again, hit me up with your thoughts. Let me know in the comment section below, in the chat room, and YouTube, on Rumble, and wherever you're listening to this, on Telegram, etc. I'd love to hear from you. So I wanted to give you this perspective, throw this out at you. Let me know what you thought, what your thoughts are on this. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main landing page. Again, don't forget to get our app today when we sign off. Again, if you're watching this, go to the description of this video, click on the link. Get it today from Apple or Android. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be good to go. And as always, guys, if you are encouraged by this ministry, informs you, it encourages you, it equips you week after week. And that's the thing. I don't have a set schedule. I just kind of go with what I feel like the Lord is leading me. Tomorrow we may do another information segment. We may do an equipping segment, but I just kind of go with what I feel like the leading of the Holy Spirit is leading me to. So if you're blessed by this ministry in all the ways, encouraged, equipped, informed, we want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do this two different ways. You can give electronically, or you can give by check or money order. If you wish to give electronically, you can do it by going to the main website, or you can go through the app at the bottom. Just hit on donate, and there's many ways you can give there electronically. If you wish to give by check or money order, it's real simple. Just go to End Time Headlines, or money order to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, and that's going to be 30655. So again, always, guys, we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for being a part of our program tonight. And again, for all of you former Facebookers that are coming from Facebook, coming there, we're on Telegram. Telegram is now our replacement for Facebook. If you want to know how to find us, there's a link in the description. You guys that are watching or listening by Apple or by Spotify, just go to Telegram, type in End Time Headlines, look for our official trademark logo. We've got almost 50,000 followers there. Look at our content. That's what I always say. Look at our content. Make sure it squares away, because there's a lot of scammers out there and all that. We get that. So we would love to have you come on board and be a part of the family. So we're going to sign off for tonight, guys. We'll be right back here tomorrow night, Tuesday, March 5th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, Lord willing. Until then, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.